Uncle Sam calling. Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling on you and the whole nation for the greatest census in American history. An army on the march. An American army of construction, 100,000 strong. Marching during the month of April to millions of city homes and country farms. Calling on you at your door to gather the vital information of the 1940 census. The national inventory that enables you to know your nation.
Hello, everybody. Here's your census taker again. All set for another program on Uncle Sam's big undertaking that gets underway in April, the 1940 census. Our guests today are the same as last week. They should be old friends of yours by now, just as they are of mine. Here's Mr. Robert James, who represents businessmen, and so has more than a personal interest in the 1940 census.
Indeed I have, for I'm depending upon those census figures to be of great value to business in the 10 years to come.
They will, too. And the figures will be available to businessmen just as soon as they can be tabulated. And here again is Mrs. Virginia Boswell, suburban housewife and homemaker, who's been with us several times before.
Yes, I guess I just represent the great American average. Nothing more important than the housewife.
All was belittling, aren't you, Mrs. Boswell? But it's the housewife who runs things in this country. I know, because I've got one.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. John Dawson, needless to say. Mr. Dawson, the retired farmer who has not missed a program in this series so far.
Yeah, and I don't intend to either. I'm going to be with you till the finish.
And then after April, I suppose you'll get yourself a contract and go on to real big-time radio.
Oh, I ain't interested in radio. I'm interested in the census.
Fine and dandy, Mr. Dawson. That's what we've got you here for, and a good job you're doing, too. Folks like you are real lifesavers to the census, Mr. Dawson, especially in the face of some of this criticism we've been getting.
Yes, what about some of this criticism? Doesn't it bother the Census Bureau?
Well, there are always people to complain of what the government does, and it's their constitutional right to voice these complaints if they feel like it. But considering the population as a whole, the number of objectors is very, very small, and the census does represent, after all, the wishes of the majority.
What are the nature of some of these complaints? I've read about them in the paper, but personally, I've never run into any.
They arise, quite naturally, I think, from some of the smaller towns and suburban communities, where some people object to giving personal information about their family affairs to the government through a neighbor. Life is a more personal thing in a smaller community.
A neighbor?
Yes. In many cases, the census taker happens to be a neighbor of the people he's enumerating, since he lives in and is chosen from the same community. And they're reluctant to give him the same information that they would turn over to an impersonal government agent.
An impersonal government agent? Oh, but I thought that's what every census taker is, neighbor or not.
Well, I guess you've never lived in a small town, then. The census taker may be an impersonal government agent to you, Mr. James, but to me, he's just Joe Smith, who lives around the corner and whom I've known ever since we were in high school together.
Well, I've known our census taker a great deal longer than that. Oh, 30 years, I guess. But I'm not kicking. In fact, I like knowing who my census taker is, because it makes me know that if I'm square with him, why, he'll be square with me.
You have a more trusting nature than some people, then, Mr. Dawson.
No, trusting? I don't call that trusting. It's my duty as an American citizen to tell the census man what he wants to know, just as it's his duty to treat my information confidential, like he's sworn to do.
And he will, too. Because if he doesn't, he'd find himself in a fine mess should anyone wish to prosecute. The penalty for violating his oath, an oath binding him not to reveal information entrusted to him, is a fine of $1,000 or 2 years in prison or both.
Oh, yes, we've heard about that. But what about the fine for the person who refuses to answer the census man? There is such a thing, isn't there?
Yes, there is such a thing. Did you ever hear of its being put into effect?
Well, I...
Or did you, Mr. Dawson?
Did I what?
Ever hear of a man being jailed for not answering the census questions? In all your experience, and you say you've seen 6 decennial censuses, can you recall a single instance in which a person was jailed or fined for refusing to give information to the census man?
No, never in my life. No, sir, not one.
And why do you suppose that is, Mr. Dawson?
Well, young man, I'm not a philosopher, but I'm a great believer in the people. The people know what they want here more than anywhere else in the world. And, well, I guess, too, that the people are right in what they want. If the people want the census, as they must want it, seeing as how they've been doing it for 150 years, then the census must be right, because the people want it. And even the few diehards always seem to realize this at the last minute, and, well, they string along with the others just to be part of the people, because, well, nobody deep down in his heart really likes to go against his country.
Well, Mrs. Boswell, that seems to be your answer.
But couldn't the major trouble of the census be avoided if the government hired outsiders to come into each community and take the census, instead of having it taken by people of the same town?
Yes, I suppose it could, Mrs. Boswell. But think of the extra money this procedure would cost. The government has to hire 120,000 enumerators, which in itself costs a great deal of money. Now, if in addition the government had to pay railroad fare to these 120,000 to travel about to different parts of the country, the cost would be prohibitive, or at least unnecessarily high. Having the census taken by local enumerators means a great saving of public money, and the people themselves should be the last to complain of that.
Sure. Oh, let the people cuss the weather if they like, or women drivers, or whatever their pet peeve is. But they shouldn't cuss Uncle Sam for trying to save money on the census job. Oh, I guess people just like to cuss the government because, well, it's handy and it can't cuss back.
Yes, I guess that's just about the size of it. It makes you feel rather important to blow off steam that way, even though you probably wouldn't have the law changed for the world. At certain moments and under certain circumstances, it might irk you a bit, but you know it's for the good of the majority in the long run, and so you abide by it.
For our side. Another man won over.
Oh, I've been won over for some time, Mr. Dawson. I'm for this census just as hard as I can be, even though I don't know as much about it as you do. I believe in protecting my liberty just as much as the next man, but I also believe that the country has to know where it is, and the census figures are the best, the only way to find out.
Oh, say, this talk about the census taking away folks' liberty is the craziest thing I ever heard. Oh, I don't mean you, Mr. James. I mean these people who go around hollering that their liberty is infringed on by the census.
Yes, it is puzzling, Mr. Dawson. For the census has been part of our liberty ever since the country was founded. In 1790, the census figures provided the very basis for setting up the House of Representatives. And 20 years later, in 1810, Congress extended the census activities to cover the field of manufacturing, in order to help the country build up its industries and become more free from its old dependence on Europe.
Yeah, and that isn't all. Most of our advantages have come out of knowing our country through the census, haven't they?
Many of them. To cite just one, the progress of free education in America has been faster and more efficient because the census figures showed us those areas where illiteracy was most concentrated. And to name another, an even more obvious one, the census helped in the settling of the West by showing where land was plentiful and people were few. In public health, too, the benefits have been beyond measure. Facts provided by the census have been the basis of the fight against most of our serious problems, from child labor to contagious diseases. And this year, we're trying to find out how we stand on unemployment.
In other words, then, the questions that are asked by the census are questions that concern the public good?
Yes, Mr. James. We don't want any questions that are not for the public good. The Census Bureau has no axe to grind, and so its questions are, in every case, completely impartial. That's why the Census has no connection with any operating program. It isn't supporting any particular way of doing anything. Only by remaining strictly impartial, unattached to any other program, can it keep its facts unbiased. That's why the Census facts, when they are given out, are accepted as truth. They are not governed by the need to prove anything beyond the cold, impartial statistics of how many people are in the land and how they live.
Well, much of this has already been done, hasn't it? I mean, the census of business and industries is practically over by now, or that is, it should be, since it began in January.
Yes, over 2 million business firms and thousands of factories have already reported their census information, and now the population census is about to get underway. In preparation for this, over 200,000 school teachers throughout the land are teaching their classes about the census. Magazines and newspapers by the thousands are writing about it, and over 500 radio stations have already put on programs describing the 1940 census. That must mean that people want to know about it.
It also must mean that they're pretty well informed by now.
We hope so, Mrs. Boswell, because it helps a lot for the people to know all about it before the census man calls around at the door. It saves his time as well as the people's.
Well, there's one question that I don't seem to have heard answered yet. And it's a simple one, too.
What's that, Mrs. Boswell?
When the census taker calls, how long will the whole interview take? How much time should it take up?
Well, I should say that 10 or 12 minutes at the most should be enough time for a complete enumeration. That is, speaking of the population census alone. The agricultural census would take a little longer, probably half an hour. And the housing census would take maybe another 10 minutes.
Then I, as a housewife with my own home, would have to reply to questions of both the population census and the housing census?
Yes, and about 20 minutes should be plenty of time for both of these. If you lived on a farm like Mr. Dawson here, then you'd have another half hour for the agricultural census.
Oh, that sounds like an awful lot of time.
Maybe it is to some people. But if you were to ask the few people who are criticizing the census how they'd go about changing the situation, the only thing they could say, in line with American tradition, would be that they wanted to go way back and try to make Congress change its mind. Because the census laws were carried out by Congress in the first place. The same Congress to whom the people delegated the responsibility for making the country's laws. So the people must have faith that Congress actually represents them and their wishes in the matter of the census as in all other matters.
The thing I can't understand is that these people who are doing all the complaining seem to think they're Christopher Columbus. They seem to think they've discovered something new. I don't like to keep harping on how many times I've been through this census, but I've told my folks over and over again that it changes very little every 10 years. But I'll bet you what they're asking this time ain't much different from what they were asking my pa.
That's right. And there's another angle, too, that I keep repeating. It's this. If the census has been going on for generation after generation in pretty much the same way, without any serious volume of complaints, then it must be all right. And it must work out just the way the Census Bureau says it will, without any harm to anybody.
Sure, it's happened every 10 years since before your grandpa was born. Did it ever hurt you or anyone you know?
No. And it does seem to me that if people had been hurt by the census, they would have registered their complaints with their congressman, and the plan would have been changed by now.
Well, well, Mr. James, it looks as though we've got still another person won over.
Oh, well, I've never really been against you, Mr. Dawson. I've just been on the fence. I guess I just like to argue.
Well, that's your privilege, my dear, as a citizen and as a woman.
And besides, Mr. Dawson, I like to hear your replies. You really do put your heart and soul in this census argument, and it does me good to hear you.
Uh-huh. Now, what does that leave me to say? Well, I suppose it's time we all shut up anyway.
Well, not before you have the last word, Mr. Dawson. I insist that you have the last word today. So, will you sign off for us with our usual slogan?
Yes, sir. I'm proud to do it, too. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe in the good of this 1940 census because you can't know your country unless your country knows you.
Thank you, everybody. Till next week, then, when we meet for our eighth and last program about the 1940 census.
Uncle Sam Calling is produced by the United States Office of Education in collaboration with the United States Bureau of the Census, Department of Commerce. Your station announcer will tell you when you will hear the next and final broadcast in this series of Uncle Sam Calling.